I don't know.
This one. Good morning. It's a privilege to be here. I am grateful. I am Sheldon's son, and I will not deny that, but I'll try to keep it concise. It may or may not be possible. We'll work with it. It's a privilege for us to see this much of springtime. I am sorry for all of you that are waiting on a late spring. When Jenny and I knew that we were flying here the 10th of May, we thought we would miss most of the spring flowers, but I think we caught quite a bit of it, even some mushroom hunting. I don't know that we get to praise God for mushrooms, but Jenny and I were. So I am here to share a bit about Global Tribes Outreach and to talk about the organization this morning. I want to start though, if we could, in the book of Nehemiah. If you'd turn to Nehemiah chapter 6 with me, I'd appreciate that. Does it go this way or this way? Yes, but to go to the next slide. The what? This one has to point away from me. Yeah. And push down. I'm not seeing anything. Yeah? Use the other one. Point it the other way. All right. Well, technology is tough for us. They're over 30, so. Except for Harold. All right. If I understand right, periodically you are invited to stand for the reading of God's Word. Is that tradition here? Please join me. Would you stand? Let's read chapter 6. I want to read all the way through verse 16 if we could. Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Geshemu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words, Come down, therefore, and let us talk counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There is no such thing done, as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Matabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come and slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come and slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple and save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceive that God hath not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and they might have a matter for an evil report. They might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Nobadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So was the wall finished in that 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this was wrought of our God. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This passage of Scripture is one that we know. I think we've studied it before. You've all taken a look at Nehemiah. Thank you. That's a long standing, wasn't it? Okay. Marjorie says it's all right. You all looked a little bit sleepy, so it seemed appropriate to stand. Our group in Kuala Lumpur is studying the book of Nehemiah this year. And it's amazing to see the work that God has done through the life of the prophet Nehemiah. But specifically here in verse 9, I wanted to note his prayer. O God, strengthen my hands. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be open to what God is calling us to do. And sometimes we need to be open to have him change what we're doing. And I realize that I am here to share about a missions organization. And it may feel like it'd be appropriate for me to invite all of you to Southeast Asia. That this sort of a message should likely make you very uncomfortable with living in Michigan. No, that's not why I'm here today. I'm here to share what God is doing through GTO. And I'd love to have more people involved. But I'm here this morning to bless you for being a blessing. Thank you, Calvary Chapel, for allowing God to strengthen your hands, and for the way that you have consistently given and given to the people and the projects that GTO has been doing. This passage has Nehemiah asking God to strengthen his hand. He was in the middle of being, questioned on everything he was doing. Tobiah and Sanballat wanted him to stop. In this section, Nehemiah isn't praying for wisdom and insight. He isn't praying for discernment. Oh Lord, please tell me what I ought to be doing. That decision was made before. Here and now, he's asking God, strengthen my hand to do what you called me to do. And I find it, that's the wrong way. Here we go. I find so often in working with people, not just young people, but people, they'll ask, well, what is my calling? It's a big deal. I want to get this one right. I don't want to waste my life. And it's true. Don't get me wrong. But in working with kids, oh, let's not make millennial jokes. You know about millennials. They're these kids born somewhere around the change of the millennium, and they don't want to commit to anything because something else better might come along. And they'd rather stay at home living in their mom's basement because it's free. And they'll post on Instagram about how good life is. And we make fun of them, yes. But I don't find it to be a millennial issue. I find it to just be a people issue. It's a big deal, and I want to get it right. Sometimes the longer I can research, the less I need to get to work. Yeah, that's a little bit harsh, I know. But in working with high schoolers, I found that the surest way to get a kid that was interested in going to college, the surest way to get him to stop coming to my office to talk about going to college, was to give him concrete steps about what to do to get into college. He would talk for months, oh, I think maybe I want to go to college in the fall. I just don't know. Maybe God's taken me there. Maybe He's not. I just don't know. And I'd say, well, here's what you need to do. You need to fill out your FAFSA online, and then you'll need to apply to one college locally, and talk to me when that's done. I'll help you with your essay. And he would say, thank you very much, Mr. Graber. And I would never see him again. Because he knew what he had to do, and he didn't want to do it. That's not true. I had a lot of kids to get started on college. But I think you work with people enough to know that this can be the case. We'll spend a lot of time asking, what's next? What's next? I just want to know what's next. But if you ever decide on what's next, well, then you have to do it. I am grateful for the way that you continue to do something. Now, I would be excited if by the end of this morning's presentation, that something is a little different. That's fine. That's fine. But thank you, Calvary Chapel, for the way that you continue to do what God's called you to do. Carl and Lois, I see your names on a lot of things. You're working hard, and that's commendable. Thanks for making Vacation Bible School happen, and for being willing to represent a little 14-year-old girl this morning. And you're not the only ones. We heard about the youth group that did some cleaning and makes Kids Club happen. And Tiffany, I know from your letters that you're also busy, but you're doing God's work. A direct quote from Dana was that you, Chad Graber, are easy on the eyes. I realize that this is relatively good looking. And you can all be grateful for that. But you know that I and my wife and our kids, we are not the fulfillment of your mission's responsibility. We're not it. We're glad to be a representative of Calvary Chapel and to make you proud, yes. But we're grateful that you at Calvary Chapel continue to do the hard work of doing something each day. I had a pastor in New York City named Alan Roth. And he used to say, Chad, there's tension here. You have to live it and you have to preach it. You know, Chad, that if you preach it and don't live it, it's hypocrisy. But if you live it, if you live out the good life that God calls you to and you don't preach it, well, then who gets the glory? You do. People say, oh, you're a good person. That's neat. I wish I could be more like you. And it's your job as a good person to remind people that it's about Jesus. So that they say, oh, you are doing well with life because you follow the creator of the universe. I too want a relationship with Jesus. And Alan would say, you've got to live it and you've got to preach it. That's doing something. Thank you, Calvary Chapel, for doing something. I did want to talk a bit about Global Tribes Outreach this morning. This is another way that you here at Calvary Chapel have been doing something for about 25, no, more than that. This is a long time. Harold, do you remember when a short Canadian took your daughter to China? Yeah. Some of you don't know Luke Kipfer. That's okay. But Luke Kipfer came through Calvary Chapel and invited our people to be involved in God's kingdom coming in China. And he took several groups of people in the late 90s, mid 90s. And I remember Amy coming back and teaching Michelle Yoder how to say calf in Chinese. Do you remember this one? Amy said, Michelle, it's like this. It's small cow. Small cow. And Michelle, bless her heart, just picked. You guys don't know Michelle either. That's okay. She picked it up. Oh, like small cow. And we. In 1995, a group of men met at Faith Builders to try to put some more organization to this thing of kids going into Southeast Asia. And Global Tribes Outreach was born. It's an organization that seeks to represent the Beachy Amish, the Midwest Conservative Mennonites, the Sharing Concerns Conference, the Independent Conservative Mennonite Churches, Keystone Mennonite, the BMA, and the Brethren Churches. We are a para-church organization, and we seek to tie people into whatever local conference they're from and to support that one. GTO's vision is pretty simple, but it is to see the name of the Lord magnified among the nations. Our mission is to empower Anabaptist missionaries and indigenous people to follow God's call to ministry in Asia, and to challenge people to answer God's call to ministry across the world. That includes Sturgis, Michigan. GTO is keenly aware that people need Christ at Jayco and that people need Christ at Vanguard. And we're here to encourage that as well. GTO values, this is perhaps what sets GTO apart from a few other organizations, and I don't want to turn this into a sales pitch, but I can. GTO strongly values personal vision. A personal vision and calling from God to minister to people will be the foundation of each person's and each team's ministry efforts. We don't have that many programs running that we're looking for staff to come and fill slots. There's a few places where we'll give, hey, this is a need, we could use you to do these three things, but this will occupy some of your time. If you don't have a personal vision and calling to engage with the people of Asia, you're going to wash out quickly. Skylar and Alyssa, I know that Lloyd Ash has been working with you pretty carefully to tease out that it's not just coming to Thailand to serve coffee at a coffee shop, but it's coming to Thailand to fulfill the vision that God's placed in your heart of reaching Thai people. And the coffee shop might be part of how that fleshes out. But that the calling has to come first. So we make it a point to listen to our incoming staff. What is it that God's put on your heart? And how can we as an organization help to flesh that out to make it happen? It's messy, and it makes my job in administration more complicated. But it's worth it. It's worth it to work with our people on things that they care about. Our values include evangelism and language study. There's about eight more. I won't bother going through them. You can check our website. But this is us. This was the last annual retreat, and I have a pointer on here, don't I? Yeah. Well, thank you for sending Harold and Cheryl to be with us. We are not... We are not anything different than what's sitting right here, but we are. In that we aren't living in a place that's the most comfortable. This retreat is super comfortable. But this isn't our normal life. I'm glad to entertain questions, but I gotta keep moving. One of the places that GTO has been working for the last 20 years is in China. The Western Alopo People Group is one that Calvary Chapel has been involved with for a long time. They do raise coffee. You met Darren Summers this spring, right? He's our agronomist. They're helping to create more coffee. The need right now on that team is someone that could help with marketing, with business management and marketing. There's Arlen Weaver, and there's a bunch of coffee ready to be shipped to help that market move forward. help with marketing would be a huge help. I talked about this one quite a bit last October when I was here, so I'll not take a lot of time this morning. You all remember me talking about the Western Alopo last October? Okay. And why they're doing coffee and how that fits with reaching the people group. Okay, I'll move right on. Another people group that GTO has workers targeting is the Kham Tibetan. These are some of the most warlike people in all of China. They live here in the edge of Sichuan province and off to Tibet proper. Let's see here. There was an earthquake about 10 years ago that Jenny and I were involved, a part of. That epicenter was about right here in the Wolong area. The project that Nate and Carla are working with, this guest house, is out here. If I can get it. Here in the Gansan area. The goal is to exist in a... This is a tough place to live. The house looks nice. This is a traditional Tibetan building, and it's been reworked by a bunch of Mennonite hands to make this into a guest house and a restaurant, to provide a place of business that gives a reason for our people to live and to to serve God locally in a very, very hostile area. Please be praying for the people of for our people working in China. I don't know how much you have or haven't caught here. The laws are changing in China all the time. In the last 5 years, it's become much more difficult to work legally in China. To carry Bibles in. Oh, we did that here at Calvary Chapel, didn't Carl, didn't you help us carry Bibles in? You and Craig? A few others. That running the border in Shenzhen and Hong Kong is much less possible now. Mules or humans with backpacks have a lot more problems if they're caught with Bibles. Visas removed, people sent out of the country. We have mission organizations that are closing up their projects in China now. Xi Jinping has become the Prime Minister of China for life. It's a different world in China right now. So please pray for this guest house, for Nate and Carla, for Arlen's and Darren's as they work inside China. It's not impossible to be there. It's just more important to have have reasons to be inside China. GTO also has some people working in the country of Laos. It's a beautiful place, kind of between Vietnam and Thailand. You know that the country of Laos actually had more bombs, more tonnage of bombs dropped per person than any other country in the world. During our country's involvement in the Vietnam War, American bombers dropped hundreds of tons of explosives down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. The Vietnamese soldiers, the Viet Cong, would travel from northern Vietnam through the jungles of Laos down here to fight in the south. And American bombers would leave what they could along that trail to stop the advances of the Viet Cong. It results in a lot of cleanup. There's still unexploded ordnance or bombs. People losing arms and legs farming in Laos today. It goes on. So Laos is it's a Buddhist country. Pray for the people there. We've got Lauren and Miriam Stauffer that are working in Vientiane with students, seeking to provide a better education and to train high school graduates in kind of a VOTEC setting to serve their people and to take Jesus back to their villages. In Thailand, northern Thailand, we've also got people working. You've had Lloyd and Mary Ellen Esch here, I believe. This is their daughter, Caitlin, here. Thailand is just a very Buddhist country. In the north, hundreds of villages without Christ, and this is where Skylar and Alyssa are planning to work. The work going on in Thailand is largely based out of the city of Chiang Mai, there in northern Thailand, but these are the mountain villages around Chiang Mai. Here's an English camp that some of our people were involved in helping. You can see white Americans there at the back that were helping to run the English camp. Lloyd and Mary Ellen Esch are Lloyd is the country director for Thailand, and he's also a business owner in Chiang Mai. They run Awaken Cafe. Awaken Cafe, I understand that Skylar will be helping with this one. seeking to provide a place for university students to come and discuss religion, to find Christ, and to learn more about life outside of Buddhism. In northern Thailand, we also have this is a project that's been going on with GTO for quite a while, the Qingdao Compassion Home. Mountain village kids that come to live in is kind of a hostel or an orphanage type setting. They live in dorms and go to school during the week. This is Doug and Missy Yoder, and then there's William Miller, who's the founder of the Compassion Home. He's still quite involved with the Compassion Home. Doug and Missy live there, providing what they can of a stable parent figure for the kids in the home. Ken and Ann Sperkholder were here as well. Is that right? You'll see some information out there on the table for Hope for Tribes. When students graduate from high school in Thailand, there's not a real good job market for kids with a high school diploma. It's a bit different than Elkhart County. Ethan says, what's different about it than Elkhart? In Elkhart County, you are allowed to get a job without a high school diploma. Yes? Yoder, who are you? Is that true? Do you have people on your... Carl, you have people around you that didn't graduate, but they're still working and supporting their family. In Thailand, a college degree is almost imperative to get a job. Ken and Ange provide a place for these high school graduates to live and go to college. And they continue shepherding, mentoring them in their Christian walk through their time in college. They do quite a bit of athletic stuff. This is an English class. Here's a graduation. Soccer and some Bible study. They're offering almost like seminary type courses for their kids that are staying with them. Southern Thailand is a different world. From the north to the south, the religion changes completely. The majority religion in southern Thailand is Dan Duk. Can you guess what religion these are here? No? These kids are Muslim girls. These are high school students at a school where Michael Stoltz, who's here, is a teacher. This is their family. We're pretty excited at GTO. This family has been working and living kind of alone in Narathiwat, southern Thailand, for a number of years. And we've been praying for more people to come alongside them. Yes, Michael is from Lancaster County. His wife, Leah, is Indonesian. And their children are my kids' friends. So these are... But this year, there are two families hoping to join Michael's in southern Thailand to be reaching out to the Muslim population there. They've run English camps and programs, but this is in the deep south of Thailand. Oh, history lesson. You may or may not care, but southern Thailand and northern Malaysia actually it was its own kingdom, the kingdom of Songkhla. And a little less than 100 years ago, the British government that had control of Malaysia decided with their people in Bangkok, Thailand, that it would be better if they simply cut that kingdom in half and they each took about 3 provinces and made it Thailand and Malaysia, and Songkhla is no more. That this part of the world. So these people are still anti-Thailand. There are bombs that go off here, anti-government protests. Narathiwat is the southernmost province of Thailand, and it gets the reputation of being a dangerous place. We haven't lost any people so far. We haven't had anyone remotely dangerous. But it is a world of unrest. In the town or the city of Hat Yai, Joel Summers and his team are working at opening Sela Cafe. This building is one that Landon would have helped with some construction on. They're also opening what's going to be a community center, a place for university students to come and play games, practice English, and learn about Jesus. They'll be serving coffee there too. But this is the impact in the city of Hat Yai, Thailand. Now, I get some questions about our move this past fall. People say, well, where is Malaysia? It's all the same. I had a few people ask me, well, don't you all just speak the same language over there? I mean, it's all the same, right? I said, no, actually not. Jenny and I are working on language 3 now in our time there. Bahasa Malay is not the most difficult language in the world, but it is new for us. Here's Malaysia. It's the blue area here. Here's Thailand and China. But Malaysia was a British holding until 1957. It is a secular government. It's a modern world. But it's largely Muslim. The main religion is Islam. And it's the city of Kuala Lumpur, the country of Malaysia, is in desperate need of the gospel. It's legal to be a Christian. It's just not legal to turn from being a Muslim to being a Christian. It's illegal for me as an American to try to win a Muslim cousin into Christianity. So there's no law against sharing my experience and my life. There's no laws against living and preaching one-on-one. There are laws against trying to preach on the street corner and pull Muslim people into faith in Christ. So it can be a difficult spot. We have just come through a really exciting election in Malaysia. You all had a prayer request for our election day. It turned out to be one of the quietest days in Kuala Lumpur that we've ever seen. People voted and the government changed. It went from Barisan to the opposition party. There's hope that it will be more friendly for Christians there in Malaysia. There's a lot of change going on politically there. Please keep on praying for Malaysia. The programs that moved to Malaysia are our short-term programs. EDGE, ULTRA, CHARGE are now based out of Kuala Lumpur. Please grab information out here. This CHARGE is our 3-week, 4-week, 5-week trip program. It's where we start. with people who have not been to Asia. It was a long time ago, but in the summer of 1999, you all sent Chad Graber and Jonathan Yoder on a charge trip to China. And we've not been the same since. But that is part of what happens on charge. It's a program designed to open people's worldviews. Ultra, you know a bit about Ultra because of Diana and Gina, I'm guessing. And Abigail. And who else am I missing? Gina is flying tonight. Is that right? Tomorrow morning, our time here. Yeah, my team is getting together right now to wish her a pleasant journey and safe goodbye. But yes, Gina is our director for Ultra. Thank you, people, for caring as much as you have about Gina, her work, and what she's doing. You are part of her success. A big part of her success. And we're grateful to have her in the country and on the team. Ultra is a 6-month discipleship program inviting women to live a life passionately loving Jesus and empowering them to be courageous women of faith. Edge is a 6-month leadership program designed to help you become a leader, passionate about serving Jesus, willing to stand for truth, and courageous in caring for the hearts of others. We've had some Edge guys through here. Yeah, that's your friend Eric right there. Landon is on Edge right now. And we're hoping that we can invite a few more of our young men to come and join. It's going too long, I can tell. Try to hurry up. I am passionate, very passionate, about serving the Lord with where He's called Jenny and me to be. I'm grateful for the way that you at Calvary Chapel have blessed us on this journey. I see that parts of our life in Malaysia are affecting you here at Calvary Chapel too. Our city is known for an effort to go green, to be sustainable, to be healthy. You can't get a plastic bag at a grocery store without paying extra for that bag. It's pretty. But Calvary Chapel used to have like cold white pillars at the front, and now we have green trees. You're going green too. I don't know if this one is going to reduce your carbon footprint at all, but it might. Sorry, Leon. That was off subject. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Calvary Chapel, for the way that you continue to work with. I was working the other day, and I looked out the window, and I saw this sign across the street. And I said, that's it. There's a lot of us on staff at GTO that would really long to be farming. We're a bunch of transplanted rural Mennonite people. And it's hard. It's hard when I come out from doing a little bit of shopping and my wheel is clamped because I parked in the wrong spot. It's hard when you have trouble sleeping at night because there's airplanes flying overhead that are too low, or the train is loud. There's hard things about my life. It's hard because I can't get pork to eat. You can buy pork in Malaysia, but you have to go into the off-limits section of the grocery store. It's in there with the alcohol is where the pork is. It's sad. They're pretty small hardships compared to what so many people in life are dealing with. It's a pretty small sacrifice that I'm asked to make. I long to be farming. I don't long to be dairy farming right now because milk price is bad. But thank you for the way that you continue to ask God to strengthen your hand and do what you're called to do. If any of the pieces I've mentioned this morning tug at your heart and you say, actually, I think that that's the next thing for me. We welcome people over the age of 50. We ask for them. We welcome people over the age of 15 as well. But we invite you to walk that road aware of the tension that exists between doing what you're doing for God's glory or being willing to step out and do something new. I'm not going to try to answer that question for you this morning and say, you too must serve God in Southeast Asia, because that isn't what I'm here to say. I'm here to say that you too must continue to do something. Something beyond just making yourself comfortable, but something that brings God glory. So thank you for what you've been doing. As I wrap it up, I do want to mention that outside I have one poster stood up. It's for Focus. It's a language study internship program going on in China. We would love to have a number of females join that language study program for this fall. Those applications need to be in by the 30th of June. So if you know a female, this one is not open for males because the director of that program is a girl and she'll be walking with the students. If you know a girl that would be open to living with students in China this fall, please let me know and we'll see about putting that team together. Thank you so much for your time. Dana, I'll turn it over to you.